Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first, my good evening. Welcome to Friday's programme. How are you? We'll have the main news for you in under half an hour, including, are the Isle of Man government's whistleblowing policies really fit for purpose? Well, the trade union is calling for an independent panel to determine what's actually classed as a whistleblowing case. We've got some encouraging news on water quality at several of the island's beaches. More local authorities have been setting their rates, so how much are you going to be paying for local services? And honestly, this is adorable. Did you know that some of the dogs protecting UK police forces are actually born and bred right here on the Isle of Man? We'll be finding out about that. There's a lovely video online as well. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines, though, with Siobhan first. Fastamai.
The demolition of the former Castletown Golf Links Hotel will start next week. The Department of Infrastructure says there'll be a closure along the length of Fort Island Road from 6am on Monday until 6pm on the 2nd of March. A trade union on the island believes government employees aren't coming forward to report potential cases of whistleblowing because of a perceived lack of protection. Debbie Halsall from Unite the Union Isle of Man is calling for an independent panel to determine which incidents meet the criteria for investigation.
Whistleblowing is managed internally from start to finish. That is unacceptable.
World Cancer Day takes place next week, and this year a special event is being held in the Manx capital. On the 4th of February, anyone impacted by cancer is invited to take part in free classes and to speak to the island's cancer charities. And local post-hardcore band Silo have been putting Manx-made music on the world map this week with huge success across the water. The five-piece have dropped a brand new single, announced a debut album which will come out later this year, and they've been signed with London-based Easy Life Records. Further afield, an asylum seeker who followed a hotel worker before murdering her at a train station has been jailed for at least 29 years. Deng Chol Majek repeatedly stabbed Rhiannon White after she just finished a shift at Park Inn where he was staying. Detective Chief Inspector Paul Atwell is from the British Transport Police.
It was a frenzied, sadistic and unprovoked attack. He laughed, danced, joked around in the moments after what happened. And to this day, he's never shown any remorse.
A man accused of killing a healthcare executive in New York will not face the death penalty if he's convicted. A US judge has ruled the murder charge against 27-year-old Luigi Mangione is technically flawed. And Keir Starmer is rejecting suggestions of a strained relationship between the UK and US. The Prime Minister insists the two countries remain very close allies. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. No weather warnings tonight. It will be cloudy though, with outbreaks of rain. That will be become patchy at times. Fresh to strong southeasterly winds, they will gradually become a northeasterly wind towards the end of the night, and minimum overnight temperatures will be around 5. So tomorrow it's going to stay cloudy, the further risk of rain at times, fresh winds as well. They'll become light in the afternoon, top temperatures tomorrow around 8, and a pretty similar picture for Sunday, largely cloudy, the ongoing risk of a few spots of rain. The winds will be light though, and best temperatures around 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update. And as we just heard, a trade union on the island is calling for an independent panel to determine what is classed as a whistleblowing case over here. So a Tynwald committee has been looking at whether the Isle of Man government's policies in this area are fit for purpose, and it's heard its first evidence. It was formed to address some of the concerns raised following the fallout from the Dr. Rosalind Ranson Tribunal in 2022. Debbie Halsall is head of the Isle of Man branch of Unite the Union and believes no one is coming forward to report potential cases because of a perceived lack of protection.
Under the policy, concerns are raised internally and handled by managers, departments and HR. Investigations, decisions and outcome remain internal throughout. So there's no independent reporting route, there's no independent investigation, no guarantee of anonymity, and no independent review where protection is removed. So the key statements in what we will be looking at, whistleblowing is managed internally from start to finish. That is unacceptable. Protection depends on internal classification with no independent review. HR is part of the employer and cannot be independent by design. A system that investigates itself cannot provide genuine protection and has as such, it's marking its own homework. In some whistleblower-related cases, individuals cannot continue working as their employment ended through settlement agreements containing confidentiality clauses to prevent individuals from speaking out about their whistleblowing experience, removing transparency and organisational learning, which are then dumbed down from a whistleblower to just a grievance, which is facilitated by HR. In some cases, representatives from the AG's chambers have attended meetings connected to handling or resolution of whistleblower-related employment matters. This highlights the power, imbalance and experience by individuals whose whistleblower protection has fallen away. Until whistleblower arrangements are independent, protected and trusted, they will not provide genuine protection. We are asking for an independent panel to review all whistleblower, and I don't see why a trade union cannot sit within that independent panel. The fall away is the protection of a whistleblower. They are put back into a lion's den. That's what happens because it's incestuous. The behaviour, the nepotism and everything that runs through this, I stand, I watch, I see what happens and I see no accountability. And that's why you need independence on whistleblower.
That is Debbie Halsall, the head of the Isle of Man branch of Unite the Union. You can find out much more about this story on the Manx Radio website. So I mentioned we've got some positive news about some of the bathing water at beaches around the island. They've met the highest standards of water quality under European assessments at some of them. So water samples were taken from 8 beaches from May to September last year to be graded. Amy has the details.
Half the beaches assessed were found to be excellent and the other half were good. The standards are designed to protect public health and ensure the safety of bathers and monitor whether E. coli or intestinal enterococci are present. In total, 19 locations were assessed, although only 8 were classed as designated bathing waters. They were Bainacarica or Gansey, Castletown, Douglas Central, Glenwillan, Port Erin, Port St Mary, North Ramsey and South Ramsey. Water samples are taken by the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture on a weekly basis for those sites and every 4 weeks for those that weren't designated during the bathing season, which is a 20-week period from the 1st of May until the 18th of September. The non-designated bathing waters are Derby Haven, Douglas Broadway and Summerhill, Fenella, Fishers Hill, Laxey, Peel, Port Greniac, Port Lueg, Port Skillion and Port Sodrick. DEFA says a number of things can impact bathing water quality, including the discharge or release of sewage and untreated water runoff from intensive land-based husbandry. These deposit large numbers of microorganisms into the seawater, which include bacteria and viruses. It says the island sewage system has been undergoing substantial modernisation in recent years, which will, in due course, ensure all sewage is adequately treated. However, DEFA admits not all the beaches meet the best standards all the time, because human sewage is not the only source of bacterial contamination. It also says the quality of bathing water is widely accepted as being affected by weather, with extended periods of sunny, dry weather seeing better water quality than very wet periods, due to the sun's ultraviolet light killing bacteria, coupled with less land runoff entering the sea. If you want to find out more about this, all you need to do is head to manxradio.com.
And probably make sure you're not eating. I'm so sorry, I should have said that if you're having an early tea. That was Amy Griffiths reporting there. 5:08. Well, permission has been granted for the Isle of Man's first designated space for medicinal cannabis consumption. So an application for the Green Lounge on Parliament Street in Ramsey was submitted in November last year, and Chanel has the details.
The adult-only venue will allow those with a consumption pass to use their prescribed cannabis through vaporisation. Confirming the news on Facebook, founder Maria Bostock said she was delighted planning approval had been granted. She says that after nearly 3 months of waiting, the decision had finally been made. She adds while the paperwork crawled along, she's been working every single day to get the lounge ready and with intention. Consumption passes open today for those wishing to obtain one and will become active once the lounge officially opens, which is hoped to be next month. She also says that the project has tested her more than anything else, but has also shown what persistence looks like. Speaking previously to Manx Radio, Maria and her co-founder Daisy May Green said the aim was to challenge misconceptions and reduce the stigma surrounding medicinal cannabis.
We obviously, as patients, have guidelines that we have to follow with our prescription. We do feel that by following our regulations that we've instilled within the lounge and our code of conduct and things like that, that we can break the misconceptions and along break the stigma at the same time. And we are our main one of our main focuses is drug harm reduction. We will work hard to kind of not just reduce the stigma with medicinal cannabis, but hopefully make a dent in the recreational use and bring that lower as well.
So if I came in and I didn't have a prescription or anything, would I still be allowed to sit in?
When it comes to vaporization, the risks of secondhand smoke are extremely minimal, especially compared to actual smoking. So to sit there, you wouldn't be affected by the air quality or anything. It will be a safe environment, and we will have adequate ventilation in the property, as well as lots and lots of plants that will help to filter our air as well.
That is Maria Bostock from the Green Lounge, which is going to be on Parliament Street in Ramsey. It's just gone 10 past five. So we've been talking a lot about rates this week because the local commissioners have been setting their rate for the next financial year. Douglas Council says it has set a modest increase to its rates for the next year while announcing investments into community facilities. So the local authorities raised it to 620 pence in the pound. That's a 2.99% increase on 2025. Local democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson, after that announcement was made this morning.
So we're really, really excited this year to announce a below inflation rate increase. And one of the things that we are doing is we're also announcing free weekend car parking from April in Shoresbrough Car Park for a year. This is something that businesses in the high street have asked for ages, rolling out a brand new online procurement tool to allow local businesses to more easily bid for government contracts. We're hosting a lot more events in the city that allow businesses to sort of engage and get opportunities to sort of ply their wares. But also at the same time, we're investing in the crematorium, which is critical national infrastructure, the only crematorium on the island. And we're going to be making sure that people have dignified services at the end of life. But one of the things we're most excited about is our massive program of investing in parks throughout the city. So every district in Douglas is going to get a brand new park between now and the next few years that will be completely rebuilt and overhauled. We're putting £240,000 into rebuilding parks across the city. We're going to be building new parks in the Marine Gardens and on the promenade. So this is something that we're really, really excited about. So, and this also comes along with massively investing in the library. So brand new PCs in the library and tablets so that people get the ability to access modern technology so everyone has access to the internet. So anyone can write a CV, print out a job application, do homework, study regardless of whether or not they have their own PC at home, whether or not they have their own printer. So we're trying to make sure that not only are we investing a lot in people who desperately need these services, but what we're also doing is also making sure that no one gets left behind. And all of this with a below rates inflation, very excited about this.
How did you get to this decision? Obviously, I imagine it takes quite a long-winded process. So how did you get to settle on the rate that you've announced today?
So initially what we were doing is we were staring at quite a significant rates increase, but what we've done is we've gone out of our way to find savings. We've gone out of our way to restructure things. We've gone out of our way to make sure that we have invested quite a lot into reserves. And that's what we're aiming to do is a moderate rates increase plus massive investment in public services.
That is the leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson. You can hear more from him on Manx Radio's Perspective on Sunday lunchtime from 12 with Phil. And as ever, all the rate stories are on the Manx Radio website, including the one from Ramsey, where a Ramsey commissioner says the budget there has been stripped back in an effort to maintain the authority's spending and keep infrastructure in the town in good condition. So June McGuinness is the board's lead member for finance and says the inflationary rise of 3.5% is going to give enough funding to maintain the town at a base level. So the rate's been set at 528 pence in the pound. That's an 18 pence increase. And for a standard two-bed bungalow in the town, it will equate to around £21.60 more for the year. Again, Emma has been talking to June McGuinness.
The nature of rates is that they will not increase the amount of money we have to spend each year by themselves without putting the rates up. So unlike taxes, which are income-based, that will go up naturally as people's income increases. Rates are a static amount, so if we don't put the rates up, we'll get the exact same amount of money back in this coming year. And as everyone knows, the cost of everything is going up and wages are going up, and therefore we need to put the rates up to accommodate that.
What factors led to this decision, and what kind of process did you have to go through? Because I know you mentioned in the statement that there was like various things you had to take into consideration. So how did you get to this point?
The budget setting, as any keen listener of our board meetings will tell you, as far as I'm concerned, starts from the previous May or April. We need to consider what sort of big projects or small projects we're doing. But this year, having gone through quite an extensive sort of review of everything we wanted to achieve, we've really stripped it back and deferred an awful lot of ambitious projects with a view of just trying to maintain the status quo, keep our equipment and infrastructure in tip-top condition, as the public would expect. We don't want streetlights failing around the town. And all that contributes to an inflationary rise, which is the base level, just to maintain the town in good order.
Now, the statement does say, as you just touched on there, that there are projects which are being deferred or rejected. Will they have a future with the Commission, and sort of what were they?
Always keen to stress that simply because we haven't decided to do something this year doesn't mean that we can't do it for the future. And that's why I've been so keen to get strategy plans in place for starting with the Moorook Park, but ideally across the town, so that we can look much further afield and into the future to ensure that we are planning for larger projects way out rather than year by year. And they've got a variety of projects that sort of didn't hit the end table. We've got some potentially preemptive suggestions for what we could spend some money in the Moorook Park, whereas we decided to wait until we've got an overarching strategy for that. And a couple of big street lighting infrastructure projects to increase lighting in certain areas where we don't have to do that legally, but it might be something we would wish to do. And because we've got a sort of maintenance budget we want to invest in, we haven't taken on bigger projects.
That is Ramsay Commissioner Juan McGuinness.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, all pretty good on the roads, really. The mountain road opened at lunchtime after the snow overnight, and loads of the ongoing major works should have finished today, so nothing really worth mentioning in terms of roadworks. All okay down at the airport. Then the steam packet, the Maxman, got into Douglas around 20 past one this afternoon. The return sailing to Heysham was cancelled because of the weather, so the first sailing out will be 7:15 tonight.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 17 minutes past five, and it's World Cancer Day on Wednesday. That's the 4th of February. And this year, there's a special event being held in the Manx capital. So anyone who's living with or beyond cancer is invited to pop down to the NSC. And if you're thinking about increasing your physical activity, you'll have the opportunity to try out some of the classes there for free and to talk to the island's cancer charities. Siobhan has been speaking with Leslie Cunningham from the Manx Sport and Recreation to find out more.
It's to get people into the NSC so they can have a chat with the support groups that are there. We've got classes on. If you register, you get a 10% discount at the CAF. And it's just to come and be sociable and access some of the exercises. We have a lovely lady called Wendy who does yoga for people who've had cancer, and she is unbelievable. And we've got free sessions on that you can access on the day. What I would suggest is that you email in and book into the kind of day. If you don't book in and you turn up, it could be that the classes are full because we have limited spaces in some of the classes. So if you would like to join us, if you had cancer, if you have family members that you supported during their journey through cancer, and you would like to just come and see what we've got on at the NSC, email h4l@gov.im, and if you can give me your name and your telephone number or an email address as well, that would be fabulous, and we'll register you so you know you can get into the sessions.
And alongside kind of the tasters of the different sessions and things, all the sort of islands cancer charities are going to be in attendance as well, aren't they? So I mean, what difference does that make for people coming along?
I think the support services that we have are amazing, and they really help people, especially we've got Macmillan who help with the physical side, but also the financial side of things. Obviously, we have Macmillan nurses, but we've also got Naseem, so that's the brain tumour charity, and they're there as well. So there's a big group of people. If you've got any questions to ask, anything that's worrying you, that you kind of, you know, you're not sure where to go, these people, if they can't answer you, they'll be able to point you in the right direction.
That is Leslie Cunningham from the Manx Sport and Recreation talking to Siobhan. Much more on the story on our website. You can find that email address there as well. And you can hear more in our latest newscast available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, owners of a local dog breeder say they're really proud to be able to send their puppies to the UK for police training. Ian and Saskia Kelly of K9X in Laxey have been breeding German Shepherds for around 5 years now, and they've been talking to Darren Timpson.
It's probably a bit of contention whether you can actually select a good one at this stage. They're so young, so that all we can hope for is that the ingredients are there for them to all have a good shot at it. They're only 8 weeks old, so there's a long road ahead and so many variables before they actually become a successful police dog.
So we've been playing with them basically not far since they were born. We're exposing them to as much as we can expose them to. Obviously, there's not had the vaccinations yet, so can't take them out. But it's like now you're sat in the living room with TVs on, the kids are playing with them, the Hoover's going, the washing machine's going, so that's getting them used to all sorts of stuff. And then when they do move on, the people that get them, whether it's police or civilian, they need to carry that process on, but then start training them for what they want individually. So your pet owners will be more bothered generally about it. Sit, lie down, stay. Being well-rounded when you go out for a walk. The police obviously want all that, and then tag on other exercises like the tracking and the criminal detention and stuff. But it's all a game, too, actually. It's all reward-based.
We're so proud that these little pucks born in Laxey are going to go off and be crime fighters. And it's literally length and breadth of the country this time, you know.
And how have recent dogs that you sent across, how have they handled the transition?
Yeah, good. And it isn't to be underestimated. You know, there's a lot asked from these dogs on the course. I'm not sure if it still is, but the police dog course was 13 weeks. It's one of the longest courses within the police, you know, and there is so much asked from them. And they're not all cut out to be police dogs, you know, and they've literally got to tick all team boxes. As it stands at the minute, there's two of our dogs are still operational in Cumbria, so we still get updates from them. So it goes on, you know.
Oh, that's Saskia Kelly. Before that, Ian as well from K9X in Laxey. And I mentioned there's that lovely video. Do check it out on our website and on our Facebook page as well. Darren's been busy this week because he's also been finding out about handball. The chairman of the Isle of Man Handball Association says the sport has exploded in recent months. Mick Hegarty says high schools have taken to the sport and training sessions for handball will take place in Peel for the first time for the upcoming Manx Youth Games.
I would say handball has finally, after my 35 years of trying, is starting to get a foothold across the island. Particularly, you know, we're proud of what we're doing with our juniors, because we've got a really good player pathway from Manx Youth Games now up to academy level. And we've got youngsters, in fact, going off to Germany in April to play in. These will be our under-15s during the Easter holidays. And a lot of these youngsters actually started out with Manx Youth Games a few years ago. The high school PE departments have bought into the game. So we've hosted an under-13 championships for the last 3 years. Now that's moving up, and the PE departments have asked to include now an under-15 championships. That's for girls and boys, by the way. That's really sort of moving us towards that stage which we're planning for in the next few years, where we'll establish four clubs around the island.
What do you think it is about handball for young kids that you're seeing more of them getting interested in the sport? What do you think it is that speaks to them?
It's easy to play. It's the easiest team game that you can possibly play, with a very successful end result of all the children being able to score goals, which you don't get in many other sports. Nothing against other sports. I mean, I played lots of other sports myself. Mm. But with beginners, you know, they can be scoring goals from the off. And it's an expectation in the game that all players should be able to score goals.
That is Mick Hegarty. And it has been a huge week for the local post-hardcore band Silo. They've just dropped a brand new single. They've announced a debut album, which will come out later this year. And they have been signed with London-based Easy Life Records. Guitarist Larkle Ruckle has been talking to Siobhan.
Back in August, we went down to a recording studio called The Ranch Production House with the support of the Isle of Man Arts Council to record our debut album with a producer called Kel Pynchon. It was more as a memento for ourselves to see that we could listen to the songs so they didn't get lost to time, as in many instances over here, sort of as bands come and go and they never really sort of get their music recorded. So we wanted to, as I appreciate we're all sort of mid-30s, we all wanted to just kind of document the music for ourselves with the support of the Isle of Man Arts Council. So we recorded the record and we came back here. And obviously once you record a record, it kind of goes through like the mixing stages where you get different iterations of the song as it gets mixed, etc. And basically while that process was going on, obviously you upload all of your tracks to your BBC Introducings, your DSPs, so your digital service providers, like your CD Babies or DistroKids, to sort of release them and put them out into the world. And during that process, we got an email which basically said, who are you? What is this album? And so me sat in the office, basically straight onto the blower to the boys, just like, does anyone know who this is? Has anyone heard of this name? And then the next email was, can we jump on a call? So it was, I don't know, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, sat looking at spreadsheets. And the next thing, my phone rings, and it's a record label in London called Easy Life Records. Effectively, they'd heard the album. They'd played it in their offices, which are based down in Camden. And effectively, they all came to the decision that they needed to contact us and they wanted to put our record out, which is, as you can appreciate, sort of five Hey Boys from the Isle of Man. We were just like, is this real life? Is this a fantasy? Just to quote Freddie Mercury.
That is Lara Crickle talking to Siobhan there. Sport Now, brought to you by The Print Shed and Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. First off tonight, Castletown will have the chance to claw back ground in the Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2 title race, with the current leaders not in action this weekend in Manx football. With second tier frontrunners Colby on a rest week, their southern rivals could go back to within 1 point of the top spot, with Castletown preparing to host Maloo during this Saturday's ties. Elsewhere in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Corinthians remain 4 points clear at the summit ahead of a trip to Ramsey. Hoping for the top flight leaders to slip up will be Peel. They're 4 points back in second, but with two games in hand, they face an away clash at Inform Union Mills. Well, you can view a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. Sticking with football, FC Isle of Man face a difficult task to secure their first back-to-back home wins of the season when they host high-flying Ramsbottom United in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow night. Following a midweek defeat to Atherton Laburnum Rovers on Wednesday, the Manx side this time welcome an opponent still in with a chance of challenging for the league title in the second half of the campaign. Whilst FC Isle of Man now have a 14-point gap between themselves and the relegation zone, Rick Holden's side will be keen to improve on a recent run of 4 defeats in their last 5. Well, tomorrow's match will get underway at the Bowl in Douglas at 6 p.m. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. In rugby this weekend, the attention is back on a Douglas side looking to improve on a recent slump in Regional 2 North West. Phil Kringle's team head on their travels for their third consecutive away league match on Saturday, when they take on Northwich at 2 p.m. tomorrow. The Douglas Celts team will also be heading in the same direction tomorrow as they take on the Northwich men's third team in a friendly, kicking off slightly earlier at 12:45. And finally in hockey, the first men's and ladies cup matches of 2026 will take place across the island tomorrow. First round fixtures are scheduled across 5 competitions, the men's cup, ladies cup, men's plate, ladies plate and men's bowl. Matches get underway from 11 a.m. tomorrow, and details of Saturday's hockey ties are available on our website.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. That sport brought to you by The Print Shed. And that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, Rob will have all the details about this weekend's sport in the Friday Sport Preview. Then at 6:30, it is Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. Sweet and Swing with Howard Kane is at 9. And Ree will be here with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a good one. Update will be back with you at 5 on Monday.